You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 Descanso, serving San Diego and East County, and streaming live worldwide on knsj.org.
Welcome to the East County Magazine live radio show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio representing the public interest, not special interest. Broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso on KNSJ 89.1 FM, your host, Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to our listeners across East County and San Diego. We have a very important topic to start our show off today. We're going to be talking with a healthcare expert, Dana Dunbar, and she's going to provide you with some information about the new options under federal health care reforms, or Obamacare as it's known. California's got a lot of changes to the law kicking in, and there's an enrollment period coming up in October. She will have some information about the benefits, who qualifies, and who benefits and who doesn't. We'll also hear from Eric Runningpath, Native American dancer. Our Destination East County segment will tell you all about the most fun activities to do in East County this weekend. And our agricultural report will bring you news about a serious threat to our region's citrus crop. And starting a new tradition here of Friday Fun Time, today we're going to bring you the East County Trivia Quiz, after which we'll be replaying, for those of you who missed it the first time around, our 4th of July special dramatic presentation in which we interviewed the Founding Fathers. We hope you'll enjoy today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show and our dramatic presentation, Spirits of 1776. Now, straight from the headlines, we bring you the latest top newsmakers. I'm here today with Dana Dunbar, a health insurance agent and broker from Dunbar Health Insurance out in Spring Valley. She's here to give listeners some information about Covered California, which aims to inform the public about new benefits available under federal health care reforms. As nonprofit media, we're not here to take a stand for or against Obamacare, as these reforms are widely called. But Dana is going to give information for people out there who might not know if they qualify for new coverage or what it's going to cost. California has also enacted its own changes along this line. So in California particularly, there are many new options available. Today, we're going to be talking about how the new laws impact individuals and families, primarily those who don't have coverage through an employer. And in the future, we hope to have Dana back on to talk about the impacts on businesses. Dana, tell us what the enrollment period is for people to apply for these new programs and benefits in California.
The open enrollment period will begin October 1st for coverage that's going to start January 1, 2014, and it'll be a six-month open enrollment period for the first year.
How major are these changes in your view?
This is a huge, huge transformation. There are some major benefits that are being added and requirements of coverage for people who cannot get health insurance because of income or because they have pre-existing conditions right now.
What kind of a difference is this making for the clients that you've worked with?
I am heartbroken on a weekly basis about people who cannot get insurance and because they have a pre-existing condition or they're rated up to a point where it's just an astronomical sum each month, or they cannot afford insurance, especially when they have children and they feel responsible for their family and they simply can't afford the premiums.
Can you give us an example of somebody that couldn't get insurance before? I believe you mentioned a case involving a teenage girl.
Right.
And what you were able to do for them with the new healthcare option.
Yes. So this has been the last 2 weeks. I have a client who has a job, but it doesn't cover her daughter, her 16-year-old daughter, the employer program. So she would have to pay $800 a month to get her daughter covered through that group plan. So, of course, she couldn't afford that, and she came to me to get her individual insurance. But because the daughter had a situation in 2011 where she had to go into the hospital for about 5 days because she was having panic attacks, and then she got on medication, they rated her up 400% to $1,100 per month.
And how much will she pay under the new plan?
She will pay under $200 per month under the new plan.
Less than $200 versus $1,100.
That's right.
And she had no coverage at all before.
That's right. She won't be able to have coverage until the new plans begin.
Amazing. Now, how many people in California are going to be eligible for this?
5.3 million people are currently uninsured in California, and those are legal residents. And 1.7 million of those are uninsurable because of a pre-existing condition.
Wow, that's going to help a lot of people then. And to be clear, this includes legal immigrants will qualify. If you have a green card, you qualify. Undocumented or illegal immigrants will not.
Correct.
What are some of the biggest changes that it's making in the system?
The uninsurable folks will be able to get insured at a price that they can afford, and then low-income people, people who make less than $45,000 a year as an individual, and that's adjusted gross income, so your taxable income after your expenses and that kind of thing, will be able to get insurance with tax deductions that will make their premiums affordable.
Now, if you're very low income, I understand it could even be free.
Correct. Yeah. Under $15,000, just about $15,500 is poverty level, federal poverty level, and that those folks would get free coverage.
Mm-hmm. All of the plans also need to include preventive care. What kind of a difference is that going to make?
This is the benefits that they're hoping are going to bring down our health care costs in a huge way. These are specific benefits, particularly for cancer issues, so for men, prostate cancer screenings, for women, mammograms, pap smears, and then also blood work for heart issues and colonoscopies.
So people won't wind up in the emergency ward with that heart attack or stroke or end-stage cancer.
That's hopefully. Right. Yeah, catching things early.
Mm-hmm. Very important. I understand there are also some caps on how much you could ultimately pay, whatever plan you choose, that should you wind up in a catastrophic situation where you've got a $1 million hospital bill, what happens in those cases?
Yes, there are caps on all of the plans, and that would be for people who make over the 400% poverty level. So $45,000 for an individual would be $6,400 would be their maximum out-of-pocket in any one year.
So the most anybody would pay, if you're earning, even if you have a very good income, the most you would have to pay would be $6,500 if you had a catastrophic situation. And of course, for low-income people, it's going to be a lot less than that.
That's correct.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Because right now, the number one reason for bankruptcies in this country or foreclosures is, in the past, it's been medical. People could not afford to keep their house because of a catastrophic illness.
That's right.
Now, in California, let's get down to the nitty-gritty details here. They are rolling out four different plans. All of them are PPOs, not HMOs. So that means you won't have a gatekeeper.
That's right. Well, Kaiser is going to be part of the system, so the Kaiser system has its own particular way of doing things. Mm-hmm. But if you are getting a system outside of Kaiser, like Blue Cross or Blue Shield or Health Net.
So you'll still be able to choose your own doctors.
That's right.
Now, the plans are called Platinum, Gold, Silver, and Bronze. The Bronze is only for young, healthy people who just want catastrophic coverage. The other three plans will cover 70, 80, or even 90% of your total health care costs, depending which plan you choose. Starting in 2014, one of the more controversial provisions of Obamacare is that everybody must have health care, and the fines can be fairly steep for those who don't. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, it'll start out pretty low to get people mm-hmm. kind of used to this, get them have time to get in the system. So $95 per year per person, per adult for the first year. It goes up to $325 fine for the year number two. And by 2016, it'll be $695 per year. And it'll actually go up from there.
Per person. So
per
if
person.
It's a family, this could
That's
be quite
right.
a bit. But the good news is that there are a lot of subsidies available, and it's not just for those people who are at or near poverty, but a lot of middle-class families will be able to take advantage of the subsidies and get those costs down, you know, quite a bit. Can you give us a couple of examples of what people might expect to actually pay for coverage?
Yeah, I ran some numbers, and a family of four with a 45-year-old primary adult on the plan with a household income of just over $70,000, that is 300% of the poverty level. The unsubsidized premium they would have to pay under this would be $1,187. After the subsidy that they would receive, they would pay $556 per month for the family.
For the entire family.
That's right.
Okay. And the credits are available for people earning up to 400% of the poverty level. The amount will vary.
Correct.
And it actually could be much less than that amount if you're earning less than that.
And just to clarify, those numbers are for the silver plan, mm-hmm. which is the 70-30, 70% what the healthcare company would pay.
Overall, in your experience with having looked at these plans and a lot of actual real-world clients now going through this, these choices. Do you believe that more people are going to be helped by this system than not?
Oh, I absolutely know that this is going to help so many people. The people who can afford health insurance currently are going to be able to continue to afford it, but the people who can't afford it or can't get in because of pre-existing conditions, I'm so excited about it because it's going to be just one inspiring story after another, where right now it's heartbreaking.
Fantastic. Now, what about those who already have some health care? Is it worth it looking around and comparing?
Yeah, I think everybody should take a look and see, you know, run the numbers. What I'm telling my clients is you're in this program now, you've got this premium, but we'll run the numbers for you, get in touch with you, let you know what your options are. There will be, most people will be switching in some way or another.
Now, there's some misconceptions out there. Tell us about what you would consider some of the biggest misconceptions here about these healthcare plans.
That it's going to be complicated. I think that they've done a really good job of making things simple with just the four mm-hmm. plans available. I mean, there's some complexity, and certainly with businesses, it looks pretty challenging so far to figure out how much the premiums would be and everything.
What would you say to those who call it socialized medicine and say they don't want that?
I would say that it is the government coming in to help us in a way that that the government runs the fire department or the police department, mm-hmm. these essential human benefits that we have. I think healthcare is part of that.
But it's more like government regulating the healthcare industry. It's not a takeover.
Correct.
This is not like Britain, where the government actually, where the doctors and everybody works for the government. These are still going to be private doctors. There are even still private insurance companies involved.
That's right, yes. If people really don't want to be involved in this system, they don't have to be. There are companies that are not part of the Covered California system. Now, the regulation is requiring that nobody can perform underwriting, so nobody can be locked out of the system no matter where you go. But if you go to those companies, then they will not offer tax subsidies.
Mm-hmm. Now, it almost sounds too good to be true. It's better coverage for less money. How are they able to do that? What is the impact on the healthcare insurance industry here?
What they're saying is that these companies are thinking that they're going to have a lot more members. So the 5 million plus people that are going to be getting into the system are going to be the reason that they're able to make money, even though their profits are regulated. There's a huge amount of
people. Tell us about the profit. This is intended to stop price gouging, so
right.
You can't be charged $100 for an aspirin anymore in the hospital. What kind of limits did they impose?
They impose a 15% cap on profits, so you know that there's no price gouging involved.
Now, if people want to get help figuring this all out, is there a fee if they want to come use an insurance agent or a broker? And do these brokers handle all of these plans?
Yes, there are. We will have to get licensed under the new Covered California program, and that starts in August. And there is no fee, and that's the case now. There is no extra charge to work through an agent. So
it's not like buying a house and going through a real estate agent. There's no cost.
Yes,
to have an expert go over the options with you.
That's right.
Dana, another question for you. In general, I understand that people who are covered by their employer won't qualify for this. Is there anything out there, any hope out there for people that have coverage they don't like through their employer, if it's high-priced or bare-bones minimal coverage?
They will have to take the coverage through their employer if it is below 9% of their adjusted gross income, if the premium is below that. They will be required to take their coverage. And of course, if their coverage is free, then that's going to make it where they're going to want to take it. But one thing that's interesting is that it's expected that many groups, small businesses, will dissolve their group plans and have people go into the Covered California.
Because they can get better coverage for less money that way.
That's right.
And that will actually save the employers money as well.
That's right. And so they're expecting up to 3 million people that are in group plans now, small groups, will be coming into the system.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. As with everything else, not everyone will come out ahead on this plan. What about those people who are fortunate enough to be earning a higher income?
Well, if they're healthy, then they're going to pay more under the new system. And that's true even with the companies that are not in covered California, because everyone has to take even unhealthy people. So if folks can get through underwriting and they're at the tier one rate, which is the healthiest rate, right now they really do want to lock in a plan, because that plan would go through 2014, and they will save money if they're healthy and they make over $45,000 and are not going to qualify for subsidies.
And how about those that make over $44,000 but are not healthy? They have some serious condition.
Right now, they are either locked out of the system or they're paying a very high premium anyway because of that pre-existing condition. So they're going to be fine under the new system.
Okay. Where can people go to get more information about this?
Then go to my website and contact me. I really work with people in a personal way. My website is www.dunbarhealthinsurance.com.
Very good. And you can also go a couple more resources. Our website, eastcountymagazine.org. And you can also go to www.coveredca.com, which has a calculator where you can run through your income and learn some more information about your options. And that's also a good resource to pass along to friends who might be in other parts of the state and want to get some information.
Yeah, and I'm working with people throughout the entire state, so I'd love to help folks out.
Very good. Thank you so much for being here, Dana.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Now it's time for East County Magazine Trivia Quiz. Okay, we've got some tough questions for you guys. Today's contestants are Jake, Nadine, and Ariel. We're going to see if we can stump our own staff here with some tough East County trivia questions. The first question is, El Cajon recently legalized something that had been outlawed for many years. What is it?
Marijuana.
Marijuana. sorry, dude.
Bling for oil in your backyard.
That might balance their budget, but no. Let me narrow the choices for you a little bit. Is it hookah bars, owning pigs, raising chickens, or smoking in public places?
Pigs, of course.
Raising chickens.
Jake got the right answer. It is raising chickens. You can now have your own backyard flock for those fresh eggs in El Cajon. Question number two. Recently, Meatball made headlines locally. Who or what is Meatball?
A dish?
A dish? No, it's not spaghetti.
A dance.
A dance. Sounds like it. No, no, no. Okay, some choices. Is it a linebacker for the Helix football team? The leader of a lakeside motorcycle pack? The alpha wolf at the California Wolf Center in Julian? Or a bear at Lions, Tigers, and Bears?
Bear.
You got it. You've been reading East County Magazine, haven't you? It is a black bear that was captured up in Riverside County because it was raiding campgrounds, swimming in people's backyard swimming pools, and, you guessed it, eating meatballs. Okay, according to local lore, what was the behemoth of Barrett Junction?
Is it the abominable snowman?
No, we don't have snowmen in East County. Well, maybe only in January in Julian. Was it a 600-pound wild boar, a 55-pound world record fish, Bigfoot, or a old steam locomotive?
An old steam locomotive.
Nope.
A fish.
It was a fish. A 55-pound world record bass caught at Lake Barrett. What is Akitu?
Is it an ancient curse?
No? More guesses? All right. Was it a canine dog with the El Cajon police, a sushi restaurant in Santee, the Chaldean New Year celebration, or a waterfall in East County?
The Chaldean New Year.
That is right. And it's a tradition that dates back over 7,000 years to ancient Babylonia. Okay, one more question. What is Weapai in East County?
Weapai. Is that a restaurant at one of the casinos?
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
It sounds native.
Kind of sounds like what the hang gliders yell when they leap off a cliff in Blossom Valley. Weapai! Or is it endangered lizards in Anza-Borrego Desert, a sci-fi character in a local author's novel, or the name of a Native American tribe in East County?
Native American tribe.
You're right. Weapai. Okay, bonus round. Who can spell it? Anybody?
No way.
Okay, you ready for this one? This will stump everybody in the spelling bee. Weipay is spelled E-W-I-I-A-P-A-A-Y-P.
Wow.
Weipay. And that concludes this episode of the East County Trivia Quiz.
This is Lynn Manyfires bringing you the Tribal Beat, covering the news for and about our region's Native American communities. Today's guest on Tribal Beat is Eric Runningpath. Eric is a member of the Navajo Nation and a professional Native American dancer who produces and performs traditional Native dances. But I learned that he's much more than that. He's traveled throughout the world as a cultural spokesman and peace ambassador, and he's going to share that experience with us today. Good morning, Eric. Thank you for joining us.
Yate. Hello. How are you?
Yate. I've seen one of your local library performances, and I was just spellbound by the elegance and beauty of the dance. How long have you been dancing, and how did you get into it?
I've been dancing now for almost 38, 39 years, and started dancing when I was about 9 years old. And my family, my dad being Navajo, going to different events growing up when we were little, to many powwow gatherings and a lot up at Barona, watching the dancers and learning the steps, listening to the drum, because a lot of it's all through hearing the tempo of the beat and watching the dancers and their step and being able to pick it up and just started getting out there.
Wonderful. Speaking of the dances, can you share the meaning of a couple of those?
I do grass dancing, what we call northern grass dancing. And northern grass dancing, the regalia is the proper name of our Indian clothing that we wear, represents the grass that grows upon the hills of Mother Earth. And in North South Dakota, Wyoming, a lot of tall grass. And dancers would go out and stump the tall grass and take and cut pieces of the grass, put it in their clothing, and that's what this yarn represents. They would say the prayer where the village was going to be and or the gathering was going to take place. Mm-hmm. We do the eagle dance, the Hopi. Many tribes, the Cherokees, do the eagle dance, and I do the Hopi-style eagle dance. Mm-hmm. The hoop dancing, dancing through the rings of circles to be able to keep the circle of life ongoing. Uh-huh. And so the warrior dance, a variety to honor our warriors and our veterans as well.
With all that you've done and all the places that you've traveled to, what are you the most proud of accomplishing?
Gosh, I've done so many different cultural events, different events all over. I've done the 1984 Olympics. I was known as the Olympic Indian. Oh. I was one of 30 Native Americans and the only two from San Diego to be able to participate, and the one being on TV.
Wow.
Traveling to other countries, dancing in Moscow in 1990 mm-hmm. for a youth conference in Moscow, Tajikistan, Denmark, Belgium, France, all over sharing, and in Israel, in Jerusalem.
Tell me about Jerusalem.
Jerusalem was a very, very incredible opportunity. I was asked to participate in a conference, a peace conference event in Jerusalem, and to dance, to share my culture. And I got to go over and I danced for 2,000 Palestinian and Israeli people and got to go to both sides there and meet also a lot of youth, young kids, and share my talents, my culture, our traditions of dances. And they just love being a native, just the over warmth of being there.
That's wonderful, powerful to do 3,000 people in front of the temple. That must have been an amazing thing. I understand you worked with Duncan Hunter.
Yes, I worked with Duncan Hunter Sr. for many, many years. And in 1990, with all the traveling and giving back to the community, all the different things that I've done, he appointed me as ambassador through Congress to the United States.
A well-earned designation. Thank you. I mentioned earlier that I saw you at one of the library performances. Why the libraries?
The library is to be able to share. I do so many schools, preschools, libraries in our community, and it's always great to be able to give back and to be able to share traditions, the dances, the songs that are handed down from generations and generations, and to have those kids be proud of their culture, their background, natives, the kids that are from the different reservations in our area here, and also kids that are non-natives, if they're African American, Hispanic, German, Irish, Chaldean, whatever it might be, to be able to keep their traditions, their language, their ongoing culture alive.
That's a definition of giving back to the community. I know I appreciate that. And where can people contact you?
They can contact me at runpath09@yahoo.com on my email.
Okay, that's runpath09@yahoo.com. Thank you, Eric, for sharing your story with us today. I'm hoping you might come back and share some of your stories over at Moscow and Jerusalem. Continued success on your path. Thank you, listeners, for turning into the Tribal Beat. If you have a story you would like to hear more about or a person of interest in the community, contact us at editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
In the good old summertime, in the good old summertime, strolling through the shady lanes with your baby mine. Hold her hand and she holds yours, and that's a very good sign that she's your tootsie wootsie in the good old summertime.
This is a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. As temperatures climb, it's important to stay cool. Seniors and those without air conditioning are particularly vulnerable to heat-related illness. The county has provided a list of cool zones where you can beat the heat, including places in East County, such as libraries and senior centers. All are free and open to the public during designated hours. You can find a list of school zones in your area at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. The 4th of July festivities may be over, but there are all kinds of activities this week all over East County. And don't forget the local car shows, summer concerts, and movies after dark at the park that are happening all summer long. Listen for details on these recurring events on Destination East County. Descanso Days Back to the Old West on Saturday, July 13th will feature a parade at 10 a.m., followed by live music and a fair all day long. The fair is presented by the Descanso Town Hall Association at the historic Town Hall. Live music will include a steel kettle drum band, Just Friends Bluegrass, Breaking Bad, and Barbed Wire Country Western. Native American dancer Eric Runningpath will also perform. A kids' fun zone will feature games, a teepee, and Indian sand painting. A game-on-game theater located inside an air-conditioned 55-foot semi-trailer will have video games, music, laser lights, and more. Vendor booths and opportunity drawings will round out the event. Also this weekend, you can savor English high tea at Keys Creek Lavender Farm in Valley Center on Saturday or Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. Reservations are required for the teas, which serve appetizers, sandwiches, petite sweets, and an assortment of rich flavored teas. On Saturday night, July 13th, the whole family can enjoy outdoor fun flicks for a free showing of Rise of the Guardians, starting at dusk at Sycamore Canyon Preserve in Lakeside. Viejas also hosts free movies in the park, with showings of The Dark Knight on Thursday, July 11th, and The Hunger Games on Sunday, July 14th, in the park at the Viejas Outlet Center. The Golden State Historic Railway Train runs each Saturday evening at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Campo in July and August, allowing visitors to ride the rails through East County's rugged scenic backcountry. All summer long, you can also find free concerts on Friday nights in downtown El Cajon, on Sundays at 6 p.m. in La Mesa's Harry Griffin Park, and at Santee's Town Center Community Park every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Santee's next event is a blues and barbecue coming up on July 18th. Classic car aficionados can also check out La Mesa's Back to the 50s every Thursday night in the downtown village, as well as El Cajon's Classic Car Nights each Wednesday evening all summer long. Plus, mark your calendars for July 27th when three big events are happening: Pine Valley Days, the Music in the Mountains Festival, and Watermelon Days at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona. More on those coming up soon. KNSJ invites you to the station's launch party August 3rd at Mission Trails Regional Park. Plus, East County Magazine and KNSJ will be hosting a barbecue and Wild West Fest August 10th at the Descanso Town Hall. Watch for details and reservations on our websites. You can find details on these events and more on our calendar of events and in our festivals section at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Send information on your major events to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Have a great week, and we'll see you around East County.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
This is Rebecca Williamson bringing you an important agricultural report. A major threat to California's citrus industry has been found here in San Diego and in East County. Today, I'm here with East County Magazine editor Miriam Raftery. Miriam, tell us what's bugging state and local agricultural officials.
Officials are very worried that the Wong Bong Bling infestation, which sounds like a video game, but it's actually a very serious disease called citrus greening, could find its way into our region. Already, the bug that carries it, the Asian citrus psyllid, has been found in a number of areas, including El Cajon, Crest, Potrero, and other portions of East County. This is a bug, a disease, that killed 40% of Florida's citrus trees in just 1 year.
How can people tell if their citrus trees are infested?
The fruit can be discolored, it can have yellow blotches. Inside, it can be lopsided, and you can also notice discolored and curled leaves. And if you unroll one and you find a bug in there with red eyes looking at you, watch out.
Can it be cured?
Unfortunately, there is no cure for the disease. But fortunately, so far, we only have the insects here, not the disease, and officials are hoping to keep it that way. There are treatments, however, to kill the pest. A lot of them are ground treatments around your tree. They don't necessarily have to do spraying like some people are concerned about. So it's real important to get a hold of it early.
What should you do if you suspect that your citrus tree is harboring this pest?
Call the County Agriculture Department. There is some help. The state has given the county some money to deal with this problem. And you can also get information at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 Descanso, serving San Diego and East County, and streaming live worldwide on knsj.org. For those of you who missed our 4th of July celebration, we bring you a repeat of our very special presentation, Spirits of 1776, produced by East County Magazine, especially for KNSJ. This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death!
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never!
King George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her master, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Right, not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaye, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered.
Thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brandt, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame.
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Excellent. Excellent.
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain.
No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain, which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by feeling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America, not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including reportedly flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened.
Mm-hmm. President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concern?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary mm-hmm. thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah. Yes. Huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Oh, games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh. That sounds like Ben Franklin doesn't.
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen. President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students.
Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
Here, here.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and as necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day. You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 Descanso, serving San Diego and East County, and streaming live worldwide on knsj.org. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's live radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.